97% of all the homes in America have at least one television set? That may not be so surprising to you until you add some other statistics. Do you know that's a higher percentage of homes than have telephones, that have vacuum sweepers, that have access to daily newspaper delivery? It's also a higher percentage of homes than have indoor plumbing. Now think about that for a minute. Let me ask you a question. Given the option, you can have a television set or inside plumbing. Which one would you choose? I got to tell you, I'm going to choose the inside plumbing every time, but apparently there are some people in America who've chosen to have a television set who still have to go outside to the bathroom. That's pretty amazing to me. But that statistic, I think, in itself simply indicates how powerful of an influence television is in the modern day. I'm probably not telling you anything that you haven't thought of yourself. TV is a very powerful thing, and it is influencing us in the way we think and in the way that we act. Let me read you a couple of quotes of people who've studied this sort of thing. The dean of the Annenberg School of Communication at the University of Pennsylvania has said, "If you can write a nation's stories, you needn't worry about who makes its laws. Today, television tells most of the stories to most of the people most of the time. Television is the most pervasive medium we have, and most people consider what they see on television as the norm, as the standard." I especially want you to remember the last part of that statement. People consider what they watch on TV as the norm. That's the standard. Now, that's a scary thought, and we're going to be considering that as we go along in our lesson this evening. Fred Friendly, who was a longtime head of journalism, he was a longtime president of CBS News and also a professor of journalism at Columbia University, said, quote, "Broadcasting is going to determine what kind of people we are." That's a scary thought, too. We want to talk for a few minutes tonight about the influence that television has, not just on the world in general, but upon us as Christians in particular. We want to talk about the influence of TV. I want to tell you how we're going to develop the lesson tonight right up front. Initially, what I'd like to do is paint a very dark picture about the dangers of television, about its evil influence, about its bad impact on society and upon us. I hope that we can really get a real grasp of the danger of television. Then toward the end of the lesson, what we want to do is offer some suggestions as how we might regulate TV and control its influence in our homes. This is a touchy subject, I think, because we are typically pretty much devoted to our TVs. We like to watch TV, and I'll tell you right up front, I like to watch TV too. In fact, I think I am one of those kind of people who could have an addiction to TV, and therefore through the years I've had to be very careful to discipline about watching TV, about what's watched on TV and how much TV is watched. And I'm going to be asking you to think about yourself in those kind of terms tonight. Is it possible that you have an addiction to TV that you haven't even really acknowledged yet? We want to talk about that. We appreciate your presence here tonight very much. We're glad to see you, and we are glad to have an opportunity on Wednesday evening to come together, to sing songs of praise to God, to pray to Him, to study together from His Word. I hope that the time spent tonight, I hope that when we leave here, you can say, "I'm glad I went. I gained something from the time that was spent together." I hope that's true. But certainly even more important than that is, I hope that when we have finished tonight, we'll be able to know for sure that God was glorified by the things that we did together as we came to Eastside tonight. Thanks for being here, and thanks for being a part of what's happening in this gospel meeting this week. Let's talk about television. And let's talk about some of its dangerous influences that it has. The first thing that I want to talk to you about, and I think there are several areas of concern that we should consider, but the first of them is simply the amount of time that is spent, and maybe I should more accurately say the amount of time that is wasted watching television. Fred Rothenberg, the TV critic for the Associated Press, reported that the average American watches in excess of 7 hours of television every day. Think about that. Now, I'm sure there are a lot of you who will immediately say, that's not me. I'm not, I don't watch 7 hours of TV a day. And I'm sure that is the case for many of you. But remember, this is a statement of average. The average American watches 7 hours of TV. Therefore, obviously, there are some who watch less. But it also means that there are some who watch more than that. The average is 7 hours a day. You can do a little simple mathematics with that number. 7 hours a day, 7 days a week, 49 hours a week. 49 hours a week on average, the American watches TV. That's 2,548 hours per year. Do you know that in a 65-year period of time, by the time the average American reaches 65 years of age, do you know that he will have spent 18 years of his life watching television? Isn't that startling to think of it in those terms? There is only one activity that Americans engage in more so than TV. Only one thing consumes more time of the average American than watching TV. Do you know what it is? Sleeping. We only sleep more than we watch TV. TV is the second most time-consuming activity of the average American. And so what we're saying is that it is simply a thing that grabs our time, that eats up our time, that uses so much of our time, more accurately, wastes so much of our time. On a given evening, during the primetime viewing hours, it's estimated that at least 25% of the U.S. population is sitting in front of a television set. Now, I believe that there are some real implications of this for those of us who are Christians. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." I believe that passage tells us that we're stewards of the time that we have, and that we need to be using it wisely. Watching TV typically is not a real wise investment of time. And unfortunately, when we watch TV, it's necessary that we are not doing other things. And I think as people watch a lot of TV, as Christians spend many hours in front of the television set, often prayers are neglected, visiting is abandoned, Bibles are left unread, children are left untaught. The amount of time used watching TV is something really that should be a matter of concern for Christians. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning verse 6, Moses said this to the children of Israel. He said, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Think for a minute about the times when Moses said, you ought to be contemplating the Word of God. You ought to be teaching it to your children. Think about the time. He says you should talk about these words when you sit in your house. What do we usually do when we're sitting in the house? Well, we've got the TV on, right? And what do you do when you walk by the way? We don't do much walking by the way anymore, but while we're riding in the car, it's very common these days to see as a car passes you, especially at night, that there's some kind of a screen, a DVD player or something else in there where the kids can be watching something in video format as they're traveling down the road. So while we're sitting in our house, while we're traveling, what are we doing? We're watching that kind of content. Also notice, when thou liest down and when thou wakest up. What's the last thing you do before you lie down to sleep? Do you read the Bible or study the Word of God? No, more often than not, we're watching TV right till we get so sleepy we can't keep our eyes open. We shut it off and go to bed. And what do you do first thing when you rise up in the morning? Well, you know, I've got to have my Today Show, my Good Morning America. I've got to catch the news and the weather. So the first thing we do when we get up in the morning is flip the TV set on. It's interesting to me that at all the times Moses said we ought to be contemplating the Word of God, we're spending time watching TV instead. Isn't that something? I really believe that we spend way too much time with the TV. And I want to challenge you, if we don't get any further with you than this tonight, I want to challenge you to think about how much time you're spending with TV and think about how much more that you could be accomplishing, and especially how much more you could do in your spiritual service for God if you made efforts to limit the time that you spend watching TV. We'll talk more about that. That's just the first area of concern. I think there are plenty of other things that ought to have us upset when we think about TV and its influence. For instance, TV teaches us to be a materialistically minded people. Materialism is a real problem, and TV promotes it. TV teaches us to think that in order to really be happy, what we have to have is more stuff. If you don't think that's so, just let your kids see an advertisement on TV for some new video game or some other thing that has recently come out, and then listen to them as they beg and plead until they have the opportunity to obtain that thing. TV is teaching them to have that materialistic outlook on life. And of course, it's not just the kids. Those of us who are older are also influenced that way. Think about TV shows and think about the people that they depict. Typically, TV has glamorous people in very luxurious settings, enjoying all of the finer things that the world has to offer. And we're made to think that if I only could have a little bit of that. Even the popular game shows convey a get-rich-quick kind of theme. Oh, if I could just be on Millionaire or some other TV show where I could win that big jackpot. TV certainly influences us to have a materialistic outlook on life. But the Bible, on the other hand, tells us to do just the opposite. Jesus warned in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." Jesus said, you don't measure life by things. But the TV teaches us that that's exactly how you should measure your life and your happiness. And so that is a damaging influence, I believe, of television. Another thing that TV does is it teaches us bad language. Let me ask you this question. Would you let someone come into your home, maybe right into your living room while you and your wife and your children are all sitting there? Would you let someone come into your living room and begin to use all kind of coarse and foul language and take God's name in vain? Would you sit there and listen to that? Or wouldn't you say, wait, just a minute now, you've got to watch your mouth. Don't you come in here talking like that in front of my wife and children. Wouldn't you do that? Would you let someone come right into your home and use all kind of bad language? Well, you probably see where I'm heading with that. When we sit in front of our TV and watch it, that's in fact what we are doing. It's amazing how much bad language is conveyed on TV. If you don't think that's the case, I challenge you to do a little test. Some evening while you're going to be watching TV, take a pad and a pencil. And every time you hear a dirty word, some kind of coarse language, or God's name taken in vain, you hear that all the time on TV, make a mark on your paper. I'll let you choose the shows, but I just challenge you to keep track of it one night. I think you'll be shocked how much bad language is coming across the airwaves all the time. We have sort of grown callous to it. There was a group in Mississippi, a cleanup TV campaign headed by a fellow that you may have heard of, Donald Wildman, and they did a survey from one television season to the next, and they found a 140% increase in the use of profanity in the course of one television season, from one season to the next. And it just continues to get worse and worse. As I told you, I don't think that you'd let someone in person come into your home and talk like that. But you're doing it when you invite people into your home by way of TV. I might relate a little personal story along these lines. When I was a kid, in the neighborhood where we lived, some of us boys got into a rock-throwing fight. And unfortunately, as it usually happened to me, my accuracy came to me at the worst time. And I threw a rock and hit David Fulkerson right in the head, split him open. And he went home bawling and bleeding. I knew I was in trouble. I didn't know in what way the trouble would come, but I knew that I would be in trouble, so I headed home. I went in the back porch, snuck through the kitchen without saying anything to Mom, and went to my room. Well, the trouble arrived quickly. In just a few minutes, here came David Fulkerson's dad. And he didn't walk down to our house. He drove his car down there. He come wheeling into the driveway and slammed on his brakes and threw gravel everywhere and jumped out of his car. Well, my mom met him on the back porch wondering, what in the world is the matter? Well, he proceeded to give her a cussing over the fact that I had thrown a rock and split his son's head open, and he really used some terrible language talking to my mom. I overheard some of that, and I knew for sure that when my dad got home, boy, I was going to get the whipping of a lifetime. I knew that this was a big trouble. But you know, the most unusual thing happened. When my dad got home from work that night, my mom met him on the back porch too. And she didn't say anything at all about what I had done. She told my dad what Mr. Fulkerson had done. How he had come down there and give her that terrible talking to, using all kind of bad language. You know, my dad never even looked in my direction. He jumped in his car. He drove down to Mr. Fulkerson's house. And he said, "Thank you, please, sir, but don't you ever do that again. I will not have you come to my house and talk to my wife that way." Isn't that what we would typically do? But instead of that, we turn on TV and we let people come and talk to our family in all the worst kinds of ways. We need to be concerned about that bad language on TV. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus said, "Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." As we listen to TV, I believe that we're seeing in society a general trend to more use of coarse, foul language, and we are in danger of the same thing, and we need to be warned. Jesus said we'll give an account for every idle word that we might speak. We need to be careful about language. TV is influencing us the wrong way in regards to language. We could also talk about immorality. This is, I think, maybe the most troubling thing about TV is that there's all kinds of immorality on TV. A Gallup poll of teenagers asked the very simple question, "Is premarital sex wrong?" Did you know that 59% of teenagers surveyed said, "No, it's not wrong, it's okay." And another 11% said they couldn't know for sure. Only 30% of teenagers in America in that survey indicated that they believed it was wrong to have sexual relationships before marriage. Why is that so? Why is that so? Why is it that in our society we're seeing a general acceptance of homosexuality? Why is that so? I got to believe because one of the major factors is television and its influence. The Associated Press reported a survey from the National Federation of Decency. They monitored 762 hours of primetime television. 762 hours, that's a lot of TV. As they were monitoring those shows, they reported that 88% of the sexual relationships that were depicted during those hours of programming, whether or not the sexual relationship was just implied to exist or whether it was dramatically shown on the TV, in 88% of the instances where a sexual relationship was suggested to have existed between two people, in 88% of those cases, the two people were not married to each other. Now, go back to that quote we had at the start. Do you remember what that fellow, the dean of the School of Communications at the University of Pennsylvania, you remember what he said? "Most people consider what they see on television as the norm, the standard." Get that? So what people see on TV is what they think is normal. What do they see on TV? They see people having sexual relationships and they're not married to each other. That's normal, right? That's the norm. That's the standard. Why do you think that American teenagers don't know that sexual relationship before marriage is wrong? Well, because television, among other things, is telling them so plainly, it's okay, it's normal, everybody's doing that. In fact, television is saying, if you're not doing that, you're the weird one. If you're not involved in those kind of activities, you're the oddball. If you don't agree that homosexuality is okay, you're the strange one. That's what television is telling us. I think the guy from the University of Pennsylvania is absolutely correct. People think what they see on television is normal. And therefore, since almost all of the sexual relationships that are depicted on TV are among people that are not married to each other, therefore that is established as the norm in our society. That's what's normal. I got to tell you, I don't want to be normal. I don't want my children to be normal. And that being the case, then I'm going to have to be very careful about how much exposure we have to the television. Wouldn't you agree? If that's teaching those kinds of norms? Of course, we can see it, so much of it. You can watch it just over the broadcast medium. If you have an antenna, you can pick up some. But you know, a lot of people are not satisfied with just what they can pick up over the antenna. And so then you can get your cable TV, and if you don't get enough of that, You can get yourself a satellite dish and you can get a whole lot more of it. And they tell me, I don't know by experience, but they tell me that they are some of the most awful stuff that you can imagine that's available, if you want it, on your television set. And people are watching it. And I'm sad to say that there are Christians who are watching that stuff and having their minds corrupted with all of that immorality on TV. It's a sad thing. It's a scary thing. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, you remember Jesus said, I say to you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You remember that statement. Let me ask you a question about it. To commit adultery in the heart, to look at a woman and lust after her, as Jesus described there, do you believe that you would have to be in the physical presence of the woman in order to commit that sin that Jesus there described? That's not, we wouldn't have to be, would we? Could you do it by looking at a pornographic magazine? Absolutely yes. Could you do it sitting in your easy chair in your family room watching TV? You could do it, couldn't you? And people are doing it. Christians are doing that, and they're committing the sin that Jesus there described. There's all sorts of immorality. We mentioned already homosexuality, drugs, drinking, lying, stealing. All kinds of immorality are depicted on TV. And unfortunately, people are watching it and being influenced by it. Paul warned in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. And I'm here to tell you that TV is bad company, and it's corrupting the morals of America, and we have got to be alarmed about it. I'm afraid we have just passively sat by and not even spoken about these things. We need to be alarmed about the terrible influence of TV. I'll tell you something else that we almost don't even acknowledge, and that is the violent content on TV. Certainly, TV contains lots of violence, but I'm a little concerned, and I got to admit to you that I've been guilty of the same, but I'm concerned that we have dismissed the violence by saying, oh, it doesn't affect me. Well, it's affecting somebody because our culture is becoming increasingly violent. How often do you hear in the news about someone who just goes crazy over the slightest provocation? Yeah, have you heard some of these instances of road rage, for instance? A guy gets cut off in traffic. He pulls a gun and starts shooting. We have been conditioned to react violently at the slightest provocation. Well, how did that happen? I believe television has taught us to be violent in that way. The National Institute of Mental Health released a report, Television and Behavior, and this is what they said, quote, after 10 more years of research, the consensus among most of the research community is that violence on television does lead to aggressive behavior by children and teenagers who watch the program. No kidding. No kidding. They spent 10 more years researching this. No telling how many millions of dollars they spent researching this, when all they had to do is ask parents, parents, when your kids watch violent stuff on TV, does it make them act out violently? We would all say, well, yeah. Yeah, it does. That's a given, right? We know that. Kids react violently when they see violent content, but older folks do too. Here's an interesting thing. Did you know that the average high school senior, by the time he graduates high school, the average high school senior will have witnessed 13,000 murders by way of TV? Now let me ask a question. How many murders would the average high school senior have ever witnessed if it wasn't for TV? If TV didn't exist? Likely none, right? Have you ever seen a murder firsthand? I've never seen one firsthand. But I've sure seen a lot of them on TV. And that's just what I'm saying is that that's obviously exposing us to stuff that we wouldn't be exposed to otherwise. And we can't just say it doesn't matter and it doesn't affect us. It does affect us. The Scripture tells us to be a peaceful people. In Romans chapter 12, beginning verse 17, Paul writes, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The Bible tells us to be a peaceful people. TV teaches us to be a violent people. Let me add one more area of concern here. I just have to sort of categorize this as other harmful effects. One of the things that happens to us because we have TV in our homes is that we become conditioned to being constantly entertained. Here's what I mean by that. What do you want to watch? What do you prefer? You want to see a football game? It's on there. Would you rather watch basketball? It's on there. Or maybe baseball. It's on there. It seems like the sports seasons all just overlap now, you know. And you can almost watch any kind of a sporting event you want. It's on there. And you can even sit back in your chair now with your remote control. Everybody's got a remote control. Just flip through the channels. If you're not interested in that, change that. You want to see monster trucks crushing cars? It's on there. You want to see a funny man telling a story? It's on there. You want to see a pretty girl singing a song? It's on there. What do you want to watch? It's on there. And we have become conditioned to being constantly entertained. You know what I think maybe is the most manifest sign of that? We even have a name for it. We call it channel surfing, don't we? So there's Dad sitting in his chair with his remote control, and a commercial comes on. What does he do? He flips the channel. Because he can't even sit still long enough to watch the commercial. He's got to have some different form of entertainment. And we call that channel surfing, don't we? Because we can't sit still to watch anything. We have to be entertained. And the entertainment must be constant and coming. Now, the bad part of that is this. Because of that entertainment addiction that we have, other things have become less appealing to the average person. For instance, and most importantly, something like we're doing right here tonight has become just not exciting enough for most people. It used to be when you had a gospel meeting, and some of you who are older can remember that when you had a gospel meeting or maybe even a tent meeting, that people from the community would come out and they would come to listen. And although they may not have come with real interest, their interest may have been touched. And a lot of people were converted because they came out to a religious meeting because there wasn't a lot else to do, and so they came. But they heard the truth and they were converted. But now these days, we can't get people to come. You may have made, I imagine you did, I hope you did, make some effort to invite people to come to the gospel meeting with you this week. It's very difficult to get people to come. Why? Well, because this is just not entertaining. It's not the same. And besides that, you know, if you don't like the preacher, you can't use the remote control and change the channel. You got to sit still and hear it out. I think that is one of the damaging effects of television, even along the lines of visiting with our neighbors. We don't even know people in our own neighborhood, on our own street, because instead of sitting out in the porch and visiting with our neighbors like people used to do, we stay inside in our air-conditioned house and watch TV. I'm telling you, that's hindered our ability to reach people and influence them toward obeying the gospel. TV has those kinds of effects. We are conditioned to be entertained, and now people cannot say, like David said in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. People are not glad about that. They're not interested. And so we're having a harder time reaching people. Well, as I told you at the outset, my intention was to try and get us thinking about the dangers of TV, and I hope that we've been able to do that. Now, let's talk for just a few minutes about what we can do to try and control that influence in our own homes. That's what we've got to do. You know, there have been, through the years, several efforts made to try and clean up TV. In fact, there was a Church of Christ just north of Nashville at Jolton that tried to organize a national campaign to clean up TV several years ago. Did you notice any changes? Did you see any success in that? No. TV has continued to get worse and worse, hasn't it? None of those campaigns to clean up TV have really influenced at all. Things just continue to get worse. I had a preacher friend of mine who said that those kind of things, those clean up TV campaigns, he says, are about as effective as trying to divert the flow of the Mississippi River using a hand shovel. You're just not going to get the job done. There's such a movement in one direction that you're not going to divert it. You're not going to change it. It's going to keep going that way. And that's the way the trends on TV are. All of the immorality and all of the other things that we've been discussing tonight, it's going that way. I think it's going that way because that's the way the majority of people want it to be. The programmers are leading in the direction that the people want to go, and they're following. It's going to get worse. I'm not a prophet, but I predict to you the TV will continue to get worse, not better. That being the case, as Christians, as the people of God, as those who are concerned about doing our service to the Father in heaven, we have got to do something to control it, at least in our own home. And that's where we can be successful. We can't clean up TV on the national level. It's not going to happen. But we can do something about its influence in our own homes, and that's where we've got to put our effort. So let me suggest some things. First of all, we could watch, obviously, what's most consistent with biblical principles of conduct. And we need to do that. You know what kind of shows are on, and you know the reputation of those shows. You know the reputation even before you start watching the shows. Maybe you've seen some of the advertising for a particular show, and you know that it's going to contain immoral content. It's going to show people dressed in immodest clothes, and you shouldn't even watch. You shouldn't even start watching. You ought to make a decision. In fact, you know, there's pretty good resources available now wherein you can find out what's going to be on TV on a given night, and you can even read a review as to what's going to be on that show. And you ought to do that. You ought to do a little homework before a show starts. But inevitably, it will happen that you end up watching a show that you're maybe surprised to find out it does have bad, immoral content in it. What you need to do is turn that off, and then, having done so, make an absolute commitment and say, I will never watch that show again. I'm just not going to do it. It's off the list. It'll never happen. I'm not going to have that show on again. My family's not going to watch that show. That's the kind of hard choices that we need to be able to make. We need to be able to make strong, firm decisions about television. I want to tell you something. If you can't make those kind of decisions, then you may very well be in such a situation as where you shouldn't even have a TV. If you can't make some real strong decisions about what you will and won't watch, and what you allow your family to watch, and what you won't let them watch, then you may need to just get rid of your TV right now, if you can't discipline yourself that way. So make a decision that you're only going to watch things that are more consistent, the most consistent, with biblical principles of conduct. Obviously, if you're watching in the evening during the so-called prime time hours, during the time when they have adult programming, I think that's probably a misnomer, don't you? But you know what I mean by that. If the TV is on at those times, by all means you should be watching with your children. Be aware that at just in a split second, something bad can come on that you need to get off of the screen, and you need to comment about it to your children. I'm concerned that parents let that stuff, they let it just keep on playing. First of all, first mistake, something bad comes on, and they don't even say anything about it. It just keeps playing. Maybe there's some woman from just terribly immodestly dressed, and they just leave it on the screen. Kids are watching it, eyes wide open. And the parents leave it on there, and furthermore, don't even say anything about it. Remember what we said earlier? That guy from the University of Pennsylvania said, people are going to consider what they see on TV as the norm. And so our kids are learning, well, that's how people dress. That's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how people act. That's the way they talk. That's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. And if we don't ever say otherwise, then they're going to say, well, even mom and dad think that's okay. You see that? We've got to be paying attention to what our kids are watching. Another thing that we can do, and I think, that, by the way, these are not my ideas. These are some ideas I picked up from others, but I think they're pretty good, and I'm sharing them with you for that reason. Try discouraging TV watching in your home by only having one TV set available. A lot of homes have multiple TV sets. And what happens is, if dad is in the family room watching the ball game and mom and little sister not interested in the ball game, mom can go in another room and watch something she wants, and little sister can go to her bedroom and watch something she wants. And so what that does is just multiply the opportunities to watch TV if you have multiple TVs in your home. So you could cut down on TV watching by just having one, right? Another thing that's going to happen, obviously, is it's going to make it much easier to police what's being watched if you only have one. But I want to get on my soapbox here. You probably think I already have been, pretty much, but I'm going to get even farther up on the soapbox. I'm going to tell you something. You parents, if there are any of you here tonight who have a situation where your kids have their own TVs in their own rooms and are making their own decisions about what they're watching, I want you to go home tonight and change that. Rip that TV out of that room. Get that out of that kid's bedroom. They have no business having their own TV in their own room making their own decisions about what they're watching. Kids are not mature enough to do that. And I can absolutely guarantee to you, if you allow that situation to exist, the kids will watch something they shouldn't be watching. Get that out of there. What I'm saying is, you have got to get control of that thing in your home and be able to control the evil potential of the television. If you're not doing that, that's just a recipe for disaster. That's the spiritual equivalent of Russian roulette. It will cause a huge problem. And so we can control TV by having only one available. Try limiting the amount of time that you and your family watch TV. That's a good suggestion. How about this? How about saying, on a given weeknight, say, we're just going to watch 1 hour TV tonight. As we already said, you get the schedule out, you find out what is the best programming available on this given night, and say, we're just going to watch 1 hour TV tonight. We're not going to have the TV on before 7 o'clock. We're going to watch this show between 7 and 8, and 8 o'clock we're going to turn TV set off. We're not going to have it on the rest of the night. Can you do that? Someone says, man, that sounds pretty radical. Well, that's what we're asking you to do here, is to make some radical changes. You know, just watch 1 hour and then do something else. You know, maybe sit around and talk to each other for a change. You know, sometimes the only talking that gets done in the average family is for dad to be yelling to the kids to be still so he can hear the TV. That's not real communication there. Turn the TV set off. Have a Bible study together. Read your Bible together. Sing some spiritual songs together. Do something else besides just sitting there vegetating in front of the TV set. That'd be worthwhile. But consider limiting the time and putting some hard rules in place about how much time you'll allow the TV to be on. Here's a suggestion that came to me that I particularly like, and that is never turn the TV on for background noise. Do you do that at your house? A lot of people do that. You know, the first thing they do when they walk in is to flip the TV on, and then they go on in the rest of the house and do other things, and the TV is just sitting there playing in the background. You know, it's just that constant chatter is ongoing. Well, somebody says, well, what's wrong with that? Here's what's wrong with that. Let me see if I can depict this scenario. Mom's had a hard day, a lot of work to do. She's been working really hard. It's been laundry day. She's been working hard, and she's coming through the family room with her arms just absolutely full of folded laundry that she's taken back to put away. And I'm not, by the way, picking on the moms here unnecessarily, because dads are worse probably, but this is just the scenario I'm suggesting. Mom's coming through here. She's busy. It's been a very hard day for her. She's got her arms full of folded laundry, and she's coming through the family room, but the TV's on. It's always on. It's just there playing background noise, you know. And she's coming through there, and wait a minute. What is that? That's Oprah. What's Oprah talking about? You know. So she stops for just a minute to see what Oprah's talking about today, you know. She doesn't have time to stop and watch. She's busy. She's got lots to do. But just a second, just see what Oprah's talking about. And almost without thinking, she sits down on the front edge of the sofa, still with the folded laundry in her hands, because she doesn't have time to watch this. She's too busy. And but just got to catch a minute of this. It's kind of interesting, you know. And almost before you know it, she has slid back in the couch and laid the laundry over here on the sofa. Now, and ends up spending a whole hour watching a show that she didn't want to watch and didn't have time to watch. That's the trouble with having the TV on as background noise. And as I said, men are, I think, probably even worse than women about letting the TV just sort of reach out and grab you. And you end up watching when you didn't intend to watch and didn't even have the time to watch. So don't just turn it on for unintended purposes. Only have it on when you decide definitely that it is going to be on to watch something that you've chosen to watch. And that will help a lot in controlling the influence of TV in the home. Throughout our lesson tonight, we've been suggesting the fact that people get addicted to TV. And I speak as a TV addict. I can definitely be there. I admit that I am of the type that can be easily addicted. You may be saying, not me. Not me. I'm not addicted to TV. I can take it or leave it. And if you say that, then I ask you to take the challenge. You said you could leave it. Try leaving it for a while. In fact, try this experiment. It's really an enlightening experiment. We've done it at our house, and I think it would be worthwhile for you to try it at your house. Make a decision and say, for one whole week, we will not have TV on, not any at all, zero, no TV for a week. Someone says, I could do that. Okay, do it. And I think what you're going to find out is what I found out. I was addicted to TV. Man, I had withdrawal symptoms. You know, I needed my TV. I wanted to see the news and the weather and the ball games. And I mean, it was hard not to have TV available. We are, more than we think, addicted to TV. But you know what will happen toward the end of that first week? Toward the end of the first week, you'll begin to realize, you sort of get over the first days of withdrawal symptoms, sort of like a drug addict. And then, by the end of the week, you'll begin to say, you know what? It's kind of pleasant around here without the TV on all the time. We talk to each other more often. We do more. I've got so much more time, you'll say. There's so much more time to get things done. You know why? Because you're not wasting time watching TV. It may be that you find out that you really like it. A lot of people have. We've gone for months on end at our house without TV because when we do that, we find out we really enjoy it after you get over the initial hurdle of not having it for a while. If you think that you're not addicted to TV, take that challenge and just turn TV off completely, at least for a whole week, and see if you don't learn something about yourself. Notice I suggested maybe turning it off permanently, getting rid of it altogether. That'd be a dramatic move, wouldn't it? But I'll tell you, I know Christians who have, who've just absolutely ridded their house of TV altogether. And you know what? They're still living. They haven't shriveled up and died. They haven't blown away. They have been able to exist without TV. Can you imagine such a thing? But you know, I think that Jesus actually taught that kind of a principle here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. In Matthew chapter 5, at verse 29, Jesus said, "If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Let me paraphrase that for a minute. See if this would be a fair application of the principle that Jesus was teaching there. If your television set offends thee, throw it out. Cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that thy television set should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Would that be a fair application of the principle Jesus was teaching there? It would be, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be better to never, ever see a television again than to allow that evil influence in our home undisciplined and uncontrolled and allow it to cause us and our families and our children to be corrupted by it? Wouldn't it be better to just get rid of it if that's the case? I think it would be. And I think we've got to be open to the danger of television, aware of it, and carefully controlling it. Because if you can't control it, if you're just allowing television to have uncontrolled rule in your house, you're headed in way the wrong direction. And if you can't bring yourself to demonstrate the courage, the moral courage that it will take to make hard decisions about the control of television in your house, then you may be such a person who doesn't need to have one at all. You need to think about it. It is that serious. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27, beginning, the wise man said, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned?" Simple questions, obvious answers. Absolutely not. But the wise man was not talking necessarily about fire and hot coals. He was saying that you can't be around things and have them constantly influencing you, not be affected by it. And that is certainly true of television. You can't be around it. You can't be with it in an uncontrolled fashion and not be adversely affected by it. And so our challenge tonight is about television. And I hope we've said something that will make you think. I hope you've been thinking about it already. But maybe a reminder and an encouragement to take decisive action to control the influence of television in your home. I appreciate your good attention to what we've had to say tonight. We're going to sing a song of invitation. The lesson tonight has not been such a lesson that would necessarily advise, inform, or even motivate someone to obey the gospel. We understand that. But we wouldn't want to have a service and end it without a chance for all who are here to consider your relationship with God and make sure it's right. If you're not a Christian, become one by obeying the gospel plan of salvation. If you're a Christian but not faithfully serving Him, come back, be restored. If we can help you in any way, let us know while we stand and sing this song.